This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's Resource Centre. This is part three of our series called 50 Shades of Strategy. I'm Maya Tan. Now, in parts one and two, we spoke to Raj Kumar, CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group, about the three key elements of strategy, which are strategy, innovation, and leadership, and also how to tackle business trends. If you missed those episodes, do a search for 50 Shades of Strategy on www.bfm.my to listen to the podcasts. Now, today we're tackling the topic of innovation. Innovate or die. So, welcome back, Raj.
Thanks, Maya.
How do you define innovation?
Well, innovation has always been a buzzword everywhere. And as we spoke about our strategy, or rather our Strandovation framework, essentially we are talking about strategy as the vehicle, and we are talking about leadership as the driver, and innovation as the fuel. So obviously, the leader should lead the organization towards reconstructing the strategy and disrupting in terms of innovation. But what is innovation? Innovation is something that, you know, is still a myth. People can't really define what is innovation. But, you know, to go back to the basics of the word innovation is a Latin word called innovatio. Now, innovatio means revolution or breakthrough. So it can be translated into products, processes, business model, and even services. Now, the early father of innovation, which is basically Joseph Schumpeter, said that, you know, innovation must relate back to economics. So meaning that whatever you do, whatever breakthrough you do, must have an economic proposition. Now, but through the years, it has gone past just being economic proposition. It should have some impact in terms of social and even environmental breakthrough as well. So that's essentially the fundamental of what innovation is all about.
I like that you use the word Strandovation. So that's like a cross between strategy and innovation.
Exactly.
You don't innovate without strategy.
Exactly.
And not without leadership as well.
Yeah.
So why is it innovate or die?
So basically, as I was mentioning, you know, our UCSI consulting framework has this definition of the word Strandovation, as you pointed out. You know, it's about today, you know, you can have a nice car, you can have a very good driver, but without fuel, you know, you can't go anywhere. So innovation is really the fuel of any organization. It's the heartbeat that brings the company from point A to point B. So you need to burn this fuel. You need to have that ecosystem of innovation in order to disrupt. So that's why it's a nice formula in terms of having strategy, innovation, and leadership. So if you don't innovate, if you don't have the fuel, you're definitely going to stop somewhere.
By the side of the road.
By the side of the road. And that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. I read on Fast Company that, you know, some of the startups are sort of shunning disruption right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that innovation stops as well.
Yeah.
So let's look at all the different types of innovation.
Tell us about innovation. Typically, you know, people tend to think that innovation is always about product, you know, but there are many. In fact, there are 10 types of innovation based on the definition by groups of people who discuss about innovation. For example, the profit model. A profit model is essentially like the business model, and you can innovate the entire profit model without even looking at the product on its own. So, for example, a company called Dollar Shave, you know, basically for a dollar a month, you get 5 razors shipped to your house, and it's more like a subscription-based model. So, you know, it's still a basic, simple razor. Didn't really innovate in terms of the razor, but it was something that's very basic and simple. But it's exactly what people want because, you know, it's totally different from like Gillette and all that, and they avoided the retail market completely. But, you know, you get to go direct to the customers via online subscription. So people pay for a year, and then they get their razors, you know, shipped to their house. And it's very affordable and people love it and they're doing extremely well. So this is an example of a profit model.
And Birchbox, that also calls to mind Birchbox, where if you like beauty products, you can subscribe and pay a certain amount a month. And then you'll get, you know, mystery or surprise gifts in the box and you're constantly delighted.
Yeah.
And in the same vein also, I think, would be Agoda, right?
Exactly.
You're not paying them direct for hotel services.
Yes.
You're paying them for their service, or that's how they make money.
Yeah, and these are all basically breakthroughs that have happened and delighted customers and redefined, you know, different ways or other existing ways of doing business. Then there's a lot more like network. You know, sometimes it's about creating value across your network,
your supply chain,
and then you have your structure, even your talents and your assets. Now, you can introduce very innovative way of managing people. For example, like Alibaba's Jack Ma created a very interesting management concept style where, you know, any staff that work for him after 1 year have the liberty to change his or her boss, meaning that if you really don't like it and you want to do something else, you know, they can just apply to HR and make a shift.
Move to a different division.
Obviously, when this was introduced, all the HODs were really, really upset, you know.
Can imagine.
And they went,
no, I'm losing my best people.
Yeah. And his response to that was, look, if you're a good leader, if you're a great leader, they'll still be with you. And as a result of that, many of them, after this initiative, spoke to Jack and said, look, we need more leadership courses. We want to be better leaders. We want to retain our people. And so it started becoming an internal talent war. So I thought it was brilliant, you know, in the sense where that's really leadership. And if you're really good, people want to work with you.
I also have an example from Malaysia, PKT Logistics. The head, Datuk Michael Teo, he discovered that people responded far slower when it came to email when as compared to Facebook. Mm. So he decided to make the entire company a Facebook-compliant company that uses Facebook to communicate as its primary form of communication.
Wow.
And he found that he got better results.
That's
would that
great.
Be an innovation of structure or process?
That would be pretty much structure, but at the same time, you know, there is overlap of process in terms of engaging the employees.
So, which is the next form of innovation,
exactly.
Right?
So Facebook at work and all that are great tools. And I think at the end of the day, you know, the management styles are evolving, engagement styles are evolving. So it's good. It's great to hear that a Malaysian company is actually, you know, innovating in terms of the way they engage people and the way they communicate with people. Yeah, and process is another way where we have your own signature process in terms of making sure that, you know, your process becomes a core competency. So many organizations don't really have their own signature processes, which should be in place. Starbucks, for example, have a fantastic process of training professional baristas, even after school, you know, people who want to work part-time. But, you know, they have such a good process in training them to become professional barista almost overnight, right? And they can still produce that kind of quality of coffee.
And next you have product.
Yes,
product. That's the biggest one that people always think about.
Exactly. So people always think about product, you know, in terms of innovation and so on. But, you know, we would like to highlight that product on its own doesn't necessarily have to always be R&D dependent. You know, I would like to always term it as R&I, which is research and innovation. So because it got to relate back to what the consumer wants, what are the pain points you're going to serve and so on. And one of the ways to do that is to really listen to what your customers really want or your users would you really want. You know, Caterpillar, for example, uses ideas from contractors and engineers who are their customers and to build heavy machinery, equipment and tractors in terms of the design. So that's one of the ways to engage. It's another innovative way. We call that, of course, crowdsourcing in terms of ideas. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about the company intentionally doing that and engaging their customers.
Mm-hmm. And I think you only truly innovate when you are solving a pain point.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think, you know, going back to the term just now, you know, you can have a fantastic breakthrough, but, you know, I think it must have an economic proposition as well. It must relate back to the business. So if that doesn't happen, then, you know, many people would have it as a nice to have, but, you know, it doesn't really generate demand.
Like, you know, the Apple Watch.
It's funny. I was just about to say that. And, you know, I was overseas. I was abroad doing a project and there were a lot of, it was emerging market, but a lot of them were wearing this Apple Watch, you know, I mean, at least a couple of them. And I asked them, you know, does this really work? You know, and they said, not really. Actually, to be frank, it's quite annoying, you know, because I get the buzz on my phone and I get the buzz on my watch and, you know, all the messages keep coming in. And I said, okay, great, you know, but then why did you buy it? He said, no, it's like a nice showpiece, you know. It's
nice to have.
Talking, nice to have. But if it's a nice to have, it only goes so much. You can't really generate demand. It doesn't really, it's not a breakthrough in terms of real revolutionizing the way we interact and so on.
And
as compared to a Fitbit, for example.
Ah,
you know, that's different, right?
So that's sustainable. That's it sustainable. Will evolve.
It will evolve. It relates back to your work, to your health, and it relates back to what you do every day, and that's more interesting.
What about product systems?
Product systems is generally moving away from just looking at a product. but you're innovating across what we call value add. So, you know, instead of just focusing on your core, you tend to look across the experience cycle of the customer and add value across that. And I think AirAsia is a good example of that, you know, from before, during and after. It's a good experience, you know, to check online and QR codes and so on. And then, you know, even after, you got a place to stay and so on. So bundling the products together is quite important. And if you are innovative, you can really solve customer pain points in these areas. You can be quite successful as well.
It's the entire user experience as well.
Yes, you need to understand
first point of contact.
Absolutely. I mean, like the guy who thought of airport transfer in the hotel industry will probably get the most business in the early days, right?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, they really thought of solving a customer's pain point in terms of getting from the hotel airport to the hotel. You know, as compared to just focusing on, okay, I only take care of this person after he walks into the hotel. After you walk into the front door.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to Raj Kumar, CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. We're talking about innovation today. And when we come back, we will look at more of the different types of innovation on Resource Center, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. It's Resource Center and I'm Maya Tan. I have Raj Kumar in the studio with me. He is CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. This is the third episode of our series called 50 Shades of Strategy in collaboration with the UCSI Consulting Group. And Raj Kumar is here again. Earlier we were talking about the different types of innovation: profit model, network, structure, process, product and product systems. These are all the different areas in which companies can innovate. And next we've got brand.
Yeah, brand is something that is very, very interesting. You know, it's important to ensure the brand promise is consistent with your offering. A brand is not just a name, but it's basically an identity, a value proposition of your company. Zappos is a very good example, a fantastic brand and very clear value proposition in terms of what they want to do and very high net promoter scores. They are also revolutionizing the way they manage people, you know, in terms of their structure. So I think they're also tying back to the brand and the brand promise.
How do you create value in the consumer's eyes, though, when it comes to brand? How do you innovate in that sense?
I think the most important thing of the brand is, when I think of a brand, what are the key utilities that I will get from this brand? For example, if I were to think of Zappos, what am I going to get? Is speed, fantastic customer service, convenience, good product, good customer relationship. You know, these are some of the things that are very important and you need to emphasize on it. And I think a great brand is something that is consistent. It's just like, you know, when someone thinks of you as a brand, what are the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, what are the three or four things that comes to your mind? And how consistent are you in terms of delivering this brand promise and this value proposition? I always believe that all of us are actually brands, you know, walking around. And then what do we represent? What do we promise and what do we deliver and how consistent are we in doing that?
Mm-hmm. So it's not so much the surface. It's not what your logo looks like. It's not what your tagline is. It's really about the brand values at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, you have seen like many companies, they just have not very good logos or, you know, not very good names for that matter. But
I mean, Zappos, you know, yeah. You don't always connect it with an e-commerce
exactly,
business.
Exactly. And I mean, like Apple, for example, is a fruit.
Yeah.
You know, but what has come out of that is more important, right? And that's at the end of the day is, you know, you can come up with a nice logo, you can come up with a fantastic name, but at the end of the day, it means nothing. It's just shell. It goes back to what is the essence, what is heartbeat, what is the core of the value that you're delivering to your customer. And that should be consistent across the entire organization. So people in your companies are also brand ambassadors. Do they represent the same value that you are promising to your customer?
Hmm. That again goes back to the entire user journey as well,
yes.
The entire consumer experience.
Yep. Even your internal customer as well, which is your staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important.
And what about channels?
Yeah, channels is very interesting. You know, how you deliver value to the customer in terms of the number of channels, the reach that you have to your customers. You know, there are multiple innovative channels today, apps, online, and so on. And because of the internet, we have really, really, and because of technology, we have really opened up this aspect of channels. So it's amazing. One interesting example was when I was in Kenya, there was this company called M-Pesa. And because of the geographical distance in Kenya, you know, they don't have the time to really do money transfer via the bank. Is very expensive, and physically it's very, very difficult, especially if someone's working in the city and you want to give money to your parents that are outskirts and places that are hard to reach. So essentially, M-Pesa is a mobile money. You just send a message, send an SMS, and then they have other small franchise M-Pesa outlets where you can go to these outlets and you show this message and you collect the money. So if, let's say, I'm transferring money to my parents who are furthest away, and if I'm already a registered user, I'll just do this remittance via SMS and they will get a message, and they will go to the M-Pesa outlet and they'll collect the money. And I do that, of course, through my outlet here in the city, right, and I transfer the money.
And essentially, it's M-Pesa that sends out that SMS.
Yes, it sends out the message. It's very secure. It's very simple. It's just brilliant. And they have fantastic channel innovation in that sense, because it's so easy to become an agent, and you can set up almost everywhere. So, you know, it cuts across the entire process of setting up a big branch, a bank, and so on. So it's really, really very innovative. And I think that, you know, they've even won innovation awards because of this.
Yeah, I can imagine why. Well, the remaining two types of innovation are service and customer engagement. Yes. So they're kind of quite tied together.
Yeah, they're quite tied together, service and customer engagement. Now, there are many pain points that people go through, especially in service. And sad to say that, you know, I've traveled quite a bit, and I always felt that Malaysia really needs to improve in terms of the service quality. And I think that there are many ways that we can actually do this. So essentially, service and customer engagement innovation is about enhancing the services, whether it's through technology or whether it's through different means of engagement. But, you know, essentially, like I was mentioning just now, I just came back from Pakistan, and there was this company, this courier company, came up with a very innovative way to engage their customers. So apart from the person coming to your house to just deliver a parcel, the delivery person can also function as a personal assistant. So let's say they call you and say, I'm on my way to your house, and do you need anything else? So, you know, you can you say, oh, okay, can you give me something?
Can you give me some milk,
exactly.
Some bread?
Exactly. So can you give me some stuff? And then, you know, of course, the courier delivery person will earn some extra money and he doesn't mind.
I see.
And so the transaction, the basket size increases and the level of engagement goes up. And then the customer is so delighted, you know, because I don't have to go out and I'm getting my parcel, I'm getting my delivery, and so many things into one. So I thought it was very, very innovative. You know, it's something that's very simple, and it's a win-win-win for all. It's a win for the company, it's a win for the person who delivers and the person who receives.
There are probably delivery people who game the system in this way.
Yeah.
You know, like when they are already familiar with a client, they go like, you need anything else? For $5 extra, I can do it for you, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So to work it into the business model, I think is actually quite smart.
Yeah. And so
lots of possibilities.
Yeah, so the company gets like a small amount, but the person who's delivering is very happy because they get a chance to not just deliver a job, but they get a chance to earn extra money. So when the company earns money, they earn money, and the people is happy. What, this is fantastic service innovation, and it doesn't really require high technology as per se, but it's a very innovative way. It's a breakthrough way to engage customers.
Do you have another example for customer engagement?
Essentially, you know, a lot of companies like Starbucks and all have gone to cashless cards and paying via mobile, and so many ways to make your experience more delightful. And I think that, you know, if you look at social media platforms like Facebook, are also trying their level best to increase the level of engagement with the users, with corporates and so on. So, those are more technology-based, but I think essentially service innovation doesn't really have to always be about technology, but you can really add value. And again, going back to what really matters to the customer and what can you, how can you delight the customer even more?
I can think of one example that I read about recently, and that is Ryanair. Ryanair is a big budget airliner which serves in the European countries.
Mm-hmm.
They are also very, very notorious because at one point they were going to charge for using the toilet on air, on the flight.
Right.
And you know, so they are at the brunt of, I mean, a lot of people don't like their ways, but those who fly are on a budget and they expect, you know, they know what they're going to get into. And recently what they did was they had a Twitter campaign saying, you know, tell us what you hate about Ryanair. So I think that was very bold to open the floodgates of all that hate. But I think the main aim was to process everything and to see how they could improve.
Yeah, that's great. That's excellent. I mean, that's one way, you know, to come to a stage where, you know, you become real and you're very serious about a business and you really, you want to revamp and relook at it and delight your customers. Because, you know, customers, one thing, are very forgiving. You know, in the sense, if you really do, if you're sincere about improving and if you've made a mistake and you rectify it, I think people will really come back to you.
Because they see you're making a difference. You're trying to.
I think everybody in this world, they accept that everyone makes mistakes and even business, there's no such thing as a completely great and perfect business. But as long as you're sincere and as long as you're committed to delivering that kind of high value to your customer and doing everything it takes, then people will come back to you and people will be loyal to you.
What are the general misconceptions of innovation?
Well, I think the general misconceptions are, you know, innovation is random and it's a creative genius process and basically it's always related to technology. It's expensive and it's only driven top-down. It's always about newest things and it cannot be taught. So there are many ways where, you know, we can address this essentially, because innovation on its own, you know, it's not supposed to be expensive, and there are ways where you can, you know, create value. It's not about a random process. You can have a systematic process if you really analyze your customers, if you really understand what are their pain points. It's not always about technology, as we shared just now in a few examples, because you can capitalize on existing technology. And with that, you don't have to have a huge financial investment. And we believe, we at UCSF Consulting believe that we can advocate a systematic process and you can train your people to think systematically. It's not that, you know, think out of the box is something that's random. But if you really systematically go through a process, you'll be able to come up with a very good idea and you'll be able to generate enough insights and understand what your customers and even your non-customers are going through.
And that's what we're going to talk about next week on next week's episode. So join us same time, same day next week to catch this discussion on, still on the topic of innovation, a method to the madness. Is there a process to innovation? How and when do you innovate? All on Resource Centre with Raj Kumar, CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.